Anyone is committed to serving the Lord needs to remember two verses. So let's go ahead and flip to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. These are two verses that I've had to lean on many times over the years. They can relate to a lot of things in our Christian life, and they certainly relate to the Christmas story. So Isaiah chapter 55, when you get there, say, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. All right, everybody knows where Isaiah is. That's good. All right, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9.
I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Did it take you that long, Jack? Wow. Man, that's all right. We'll pray for people like you. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And this is God speaking, okay? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You could sit around and think on that one for a while. It's almost a tongue twister, but boy, it's got a lot of meaning, you know? If your desire is to be committed to serving the Lord, you will need to know these verses. And they fit, to me, they really just fit the Christmas story. When God created man 6,000 years ago, He did so for the purpose of having a relationship with man throughout all of eternity. But as you know, we, man, chose to sin, and that in turn terminated that relationship. Our sin threw in a monkey wrench, if you will, to God's purpose for creating us. But He already had a plan on how He wanted to go about fixing our broken relationship with Him and how that broken relationship could be restored. God's plan required that He send His Son into the world to live as a human being and pay for our sins by sacrificing Himself on a cross. Now, if God mailed out a questionnaire and He asked you, you know, I have a desire to have a relationship with you, but your sin has gotten in the way. How can our broken relationship be restored? That's the questionnaire. God would probably get a million different answers. He says in this questionnaire, you know, I desire to have a relationship with you, but your sin has gotten in the way. How can our relationship be restored? He would get a million different answers, and I bet not one single person would write back to God and say, well, God, I was thinking about the question, and I have personally concluded that you need to send your Son to live here on earth and die for man's sin. See, God's plan for saving man from their sin is the only plan that will work. It is perfect. It's a perfect plan developed by a perfect God. See, God's thoughts and His ways are different than our thoughts and our ways. Now, hypothetically speaking, let's just say that you wrote back on that questionnaire, you wrote on it and you sent it back to God, and you said, well, God, I think you need to send your Son to live here on earth and die for our sins. And so God sends you back a follow-up. And He asks you, okay, that sounds good, but how then can I, how can I get my Son who is divine and lives here in heaven with me, how can I get Him to become a human there on earth? The person would probably say, I would assume, well, God, I don't know. See, no one would have ever suggested the Christmas story the way it's recorded for us in Scripture. No one would have ever suggested that God sent His Son here on earth to live as a human being by having Him be miraculously conceived into the womb of a Jewish teenager, unmarried virgin. No one would have ever suggested that the King of Kings be conceived in some little despised village called Nazareth, but to then go on and be born 70 miles away in this other little obscure town called Bethlehem. No one would have ever suggested to God to have the King of Kings be born into an animal's trough and to make it the Lord of Lords baby crib. But see, God's thoughts, God's ways are different than our thoughts and our ways. And folks, that is the way it is when God comes calling you and me to do something. God's overall goal in everything that He has done, is currently doing, and will do in the future, is to have an eternal, loving relationship with you and me. See, God has a plan exactly how He wants to reach His goal. And within God's overall plan, He has specific plans for you and specific plans for me. But I can assure you that as God reveals His specific plans to you, they will be different than you expected them. To see this, we're going to look at the story of Christmas. We're going to see that when God calls somebody to do something, He will many times call them to do things that they least expect. He will call them to do things when they least expect it. He will call people to do the unexpected in ways you least expect, in places you would not expect, which can cause you to respond in unexpected ways, meet people that you never expected to meet, all while costing you things you never expected it would cost you. The characters that we're going to be looking at this morning are the characters we're most familiar with in the Christmas story. And who are they? There's no prize. Deb, can you add this to your list next week? Because they're having trouble with this one. I'm kidding. Mary, Joseph, shepherd, and the wise men. Those are the ones we're going to focus on, okay? Now, when we think of the Christmas story, we think of a baby named Jesus born in Bethlehem, yes? And that's true. Of course that's true. But I think many times we really fail to grasp the significance of the baby named Jesus being born in that town called Bethlehem. See, Christmas was a long time in the making. We talked about that last week. Galatians 4:4 says that when the time had fully come, God sent His Son born of a woman. Okay, so this thing's been planned for years. Christmas, the birth of Christ, was in God's plans from way back in eternity. It was something that God the Father and God the Son planned before He ever created the world for us. See, we have a tendency, as we talked about last week, to think that the Christmas event was just something that happened 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world where we've probably never been, in this little place called Bethlehem. But in God's mind, Christmas was around before there was ever a world. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the way back here in eternity past. They have these plans to create a human race with which they can have a loving, joyous, and eternal relationship with. But they also know that shortly after they're going to create these human beings, these people's going to mess it up. Therefore, terminating that relationship that we talked about, because holy God can't have a relationship with sinful man. And so they had this plan that would solve the problem. God the Son would lay aside his deity. He would come here to earth from heaven. He would live as a man. He would pay for the sins of us, therefore opening up a gateway for man to regain that lost relationship with God. God becoming a man would be the greatest event in all of history. All of the angels and the heavenlies was absolutely amazed. It would be an event that would change the history of mankind as well as man's future. And so out of the millions and millions of people on the face of the earth, God chose the unexpected to carry out the greatest event in history. He chose to use a young, probably teenage years, unmarried virgin named Mary. She was living in this little remote village that we mentioned a moment ago called Nazareth. And he used her to be a channel that he would use to bring about the greatest event in the history of the world. Him leaving heaven, coming here in the flesh. God chose some no-name man by the name of Joseph to be his earthly father. Even today, 2,000 years later, about the only thing we know about Joseph was he was a carpenter. And he ended up being the earthly father of Jesus. Well, then we think, okay, God chose the unexpected. Well, the first group of people that you see God called to come and worship His Son were shepherds. If you're familiar with shepherds, shepherds were on the bottom of the social ladder. They had a tendency to be kind of dirty and stinky kind of people. They were considered unclean by the Jews. They spent most of their time around sheep and out in the wilderness. But God used them. They was unexpected people. See, if man was to write the Christmas story, we would probably have God being born into some sort of wealthy, socially elite royal family, yes? And those that we would have come and worship Him would be the cream of the crop of the religious world. But when God calls people to carry out His plan, He commonly calls those you would least expect, like you and me. He doesn't look for those that's got the status. He doesn't look for those that's got fame. He's not looking for the highly educated. God loves to use common folk, those you would least expect. Now, when God calls you to do something, He will many times do it when you least expect it. For example, as I said a moment ago, Mary was considered to only have been a teenager. A lot of Christians have a tendency to think that God don't call on teenagers to carry out His plans, but that He'll instead wait till they're an adult. Well, Mary would argue with that. Daniel would definitely argue with that. See, Scripture shows God calling people of all ages to do and participate in His plans. God called Mary and Joseph to be part of the Christmas story in probably what was the busiest time of their lives. Planning for their wedding. In the United States, a wedding and a reception's over in a few hours. But back then, a wedding feast lasted a whole week, 7 days. It was a big deal. Well, then you add to that, Mary's not married. But yet God's calling her to conceive a son. Now, in America, we celebrate people having kids out of wedlock. But 2,000 years ago in Israel, unmarried pregnancy was a public disgrace. One more thing. When the angel Gabriel went to tell Mary that God had chose her to conceive His son, she was 9 months from her and Joseph having to go to Bethlehem, some 70-some miles away, to register for taxes, if you're familiar with that story. And so that meant that she's going to have to travel 70, 80 miles while being 9 months pregnant. And not in a car, not in a Greyhound, not in a plane, on foot or by mule. Any pregnant women want to do that 9 months pregnant? You know, with regards to the shepherds, it says in Luke 2 that when God called on them, He called on them, remember, unexpected time, He called on them when? In the middle of the night. But see, from man's perspective, God's timing's just kind of way off there. That isn't right. You would think that God could have at least kind of waited till the next day to call upon the shepherd, you know, instead of doing it in the middle of the night. But when God comes calling, He'll call you to do it when least expected. You think with regards to Joseph and Mary, it would have been a lot better if God might have just, you know, kind of waited until Mary and Joseph might have been like a little more older in age, or, you know, maybe a little more mature, married. Mary wouldn't help. I mean, that'd help, you know. It might be better if God was just a little wiser in this and said, hey, after the wedding, besides they're busy. Think about it. It's not going to look good for Mary to be pregnant. She's not married. One more thing. You would think that God could have waited on the pregnancy till maybe Mary got back from Bethlehem. You would think. I mean, she wouldn't have to do all that traveling while being 9 months pregnant. But see, that's just not the way God works. Many times He will call you to take part in His plans when you least expect it. God doesn't sit around and say, well, and they get some free time. He doesn't wait till you and I think the time is right. See, believe it or not, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your plans, regardless of how busy you are, when God calls you to do something, you do have time. God will never call you to do anything you don't have time to do. See, the question is never, do I have the time, but will I take the time? Here's another one. Many times when God calls on you to take part in His plans, He will call you to do the unexpected. Mary was called to conceive a child without ever having any sexual relations. And then Scripture says that Mary knew that the child that she was to conceive and carry around for 9 months was to be the King of Israel. She knew that. She knew this was God's Son she was carrying. She knew that it was the Son of the Most High. I mentioned a moment ago, to do the unexpected. She was called to travel 70, 80 miles. Why in the final days of her pregnancy? She was called to give a human birth to a divine being. Do the unexpected. She was called to give human birth to her very own Creator. And I can assure you that Mary did not expect any of that. Luke 1:34 says that Mary asked Gabriel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" When God calls you to do something, He will call you to do the unexpected. I think of Joseph being called to be the father of the Savior of the world. You're talking about a big job. There's always those jokes, you know, when Jesus was 12 and they took that trip to the temple and they like lost Jesus, you know. I mean, that's a big job. I can assure you that that was not in Joseph's plans when he asked Mary to marry him. Here's another one for Joseph and Mary. And this wasn't a direct instruction from God or anything, but it was definitely something God caused to happen. The moment came for them to give birth to God in the flesh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, and they have to place their newborn baby in a trough where they put food for animals. Children's services would take your baby away today. He will call you to do the unexpected. Makes me think of the shepherds. The shepherds would have never expected God to call them in the middle of the night to leave their flocks of sheep and travel into a town and worship a baby. They would have never thought that when they were called to go worship that long-awaited Messiah that they've been waiting for, that he would be an infant found in a feeding trough. When God calls you to do something, he'll call you to do the unexpected. That makes me think of the wise men. When God called the wise men to go worship the long-awaited Messiah, they probably never thought that they was going to need to leave their homes and their families and travel 700 to 800 miles. By the way, that would have taken a few months back then. Then the one that they went to worship after they've left their families and traveled for months, they get there and they're called to worship a newborn child of a year to a year and a half old. People have a hard enough time worshiping the adult Jesus. Could you imagine what it would be like to worship him as an infant or as a year and a half old? See, folks, many times when God calls on you to take part in his plans, he will call you to do the unexpected. Something else God will sometimes do when he calls you to participate in his plans is he will call you to go to places you least expect. Mary and Joseph was living in their hometown of Nazareth where their family was, and God come knocking on their door. Within 9 months, they're sitting in Bethlehem, some 70, 80 mile away. If you're familiar with the story, after Jesus is born, you know they didn't go back home. They made their home right there in Bethlehem. Then you have the wise men in Matthew 2:1. It says they came from the east. Remember that? That's believed to be somewhere around modern-day Babylon in Iraq. As I said a moment ago, God called them to travel some 700 to 800 miles from their home in a completely different nation and go into a little unknown village they had no idea about called Bethlehem. God will call you to go places that you least expect. Then following the wise men's departure, we're told Matthew chapter 2 that Joseph and Mary was called by God to take Jesus and go to Egypt. That was not on their plans because King Herod was looking to kill him. And then after they lived there in Egypt for a while, King Herod dies and God calls them to finally return back to Nazareth where they... The whole Christmas story began a few years earlier. See, there are times when God will call you to go to places that you least expect to go. Here's one more. And I think this is probably one of the hardest ones for Christians to accept sometimes when God's calling on them to partake in His plans. Because so many times it will cost you things you never expected. Just about every time God calls you to do something, it will cost you at least your time. Joseph and Mary gave up their first couple years of their marriage to go where God called them to go, which was places unexpected. The shepherds were called to take some time away from their jobs and go worship Jesus. The wise men gave up several months of their time to travel a total of about 1,500 mile round trip on camel or on horseback, just to go spend a day or two worshiping a baby. Nowadays, you can't hardly get a person to travel 15 or 20 miles in a car to go to church, let alone 1,500 miles on a camel. Sometimes when God calls on you, it will cost you materially and or financially. We're told in Matthew chapter 2 that the wise men found Jesus, and when they found him, it says they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Folks, those gifts were not chump change. They were considered gifts you give to royalty. Sometimes when God calls on you, it will cost you relationships. Remember Joseph and Mary, they were from Nazareth, yes? The odds are, that's where all their family and friends was. But as I said a moment ago, they got called to go in Bethlehem and live there for a while. Build new friends Joseph taking on a new job. Then God says, go to Egypt. There's nothing in all of Scripture says they've ever lived in Egypt, that they even knew anybody in Egypt. After building some relationships in Egypt, God called them to leave there and go back to Nazareth. When God called the wise men to travel to Bethlehem, they had to spend several months away from their family following God's call. Along the way, they build new relationships. They leave old ones. Sometimes when God calls on you, He will call you to change jobs or take a leave of absence. Joseph was a carpenter in Nazareth. Excuse me. He had to leave his job for a few years to follow God's plans. The wise men had to take several months off their jobs to follow God's plans. I know I've left several jobs to follow God's plans. My wife has left her job to follow God's plans. Sometimes when God's calling on you, it'll call you to change jobs or take a leave of absence. And so sometimes when God calls you to take part in His plans, it will cost you things you never expected. And finally, there's one more thing that will happen often when God is calling you to take part in His plans, and that's this. You'll have a fear that you would not have expected. If you read this story, the Christmas story, several times God has to say, do not be afraid. Luke chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, it says, when God called upon Mary, she was troubled. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. In Matthew chapter 1, when God was calling on Joseph, it says in verse 20 that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Here's what Luke 2, 9 and 10 says about when God called the shepherds. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Folks, if you ever sit down and read from Genesis to Revelation, do not be afraid is a very common phrase God uses when He calls people. Over and over in the Bible, you see people have a fear when God is calling them to do something. When you think about it, it kind of seems like it might be a contradiction to have fear when you have this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, all-gracious Heavenly Father calling you to do something. Down through the years, I've had people tell me things that they thought God was calling them to do, but they also told me they were afraid to do it. And so my common question I usually ask is this. Do you think an all-loving, an all-gracious, perfect God will call you to do something that will harm you? The answer is the same every time. No. So I ask them, do you think God is calling you to do this because He's mad at you? And the answer is the same every time. No. So my response every time is, do it. Folks, when God is calling you to do something, it is pretty normal for you to have some degree of fear, because His thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways His ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than yours. See, the reason God chose the unexpected when least expected, to do the unexpected in places least expected, costing them things they never expected and giving them a fear they never expected, is because God calls us to trust Him first, understand Him later. God's thoughts and ways of doing things exceeds anything all of us collectively together could ever imagine. Not a single one of us would have written the Christmas story the way God did. See, the way God does things might be a little bit different than how we would think of doing them. But His way will always be a better way. Folks, the story of Christmas is so much more than a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. The story of Christmas is something that no human being could have ever come up with in a million years. The Christmas story is about what the Gospel of John says in chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Christmas story is about God's eternal plan of how He could save man from an eternal punishment in hell. The story of Christmas is the greatest story ever told. It's one of the greatest events the world has ever known. And the people that God used to pull it off were just plain old common folks, ordinary people like you and me. And folks, God is still in the business of using people like you and me to carry out His plan. I ask the same question I asked last week that I ask every Christmas. Will you be celebrating the birth of your Savior this year or the birth of your judge? Because it's one or the other. And the choice is yours. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, if you've never committed your life to Him and yielded yourself to His Lordship, you will be celebrating the birth of your judge, and that's not a good thing. I encourage you this morning, consider giving your life to the Lord. I'll be more than glad to talk to you before you leave today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. In the midst of a season of the greatest story ever told, that Father, some way, somehow, this story that we hear every year that could become monotonous to us, that Father will take on more in-depth meaning this year, more so than ever before. That we will grasp the significance behind this greatest story ever told. That it will impact our next few weeks as we head into that particular day to celebrate your birth. Father, I ask you to just slow us down. Don't let us get too caught up in all the commercialism and the busyness, that we'll just take time to kind of think things through and what this season should mean to us and what it does mean to you. Lord, we just love you this morning. In Christ's name, amen.